our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
We will not find happiness. We will not find a better chance to serve. We will not find fulfillment. We will not find the Lord Himself. We will not find His peace. We will not find His joy, except in the place that He has appointed. Don't ever imagine that if God puts you someplace else, you could serve Him better. If you don't serve Him here, if you are not an evangelist where you are now, never imagine that you could be one if you were elsewhere. If you are not an evangelist where you are now, never imagine that you could be one if you were elsewhere. I really believe that. When I was a jungle missionary, I was meant to be a jungle missionary. I went to be a linguist, but there were times when I had to teach sewing. While I was teaching sewing, do you think it was more important that I should forget about teaching the sewing and go down and start teaching somebody a gospel lesson? No, I don't think so. Where did I get that idea? From the life of Jesus. For 30 years, as far as we know, he probably worked in a carpenter shop with his hands. We don't know one single thing about anything in his life between the age of 12 and 30. All those years of silence, solitude, quietness, he was totally unknown. But he said, "I do always those things that please the Father." And I can just imagine that the way he shaped that piece of wood, the perfect fit, the careful cutting, the sandpapering, the fitting together of that table or that chair or that bench or whatever it was done for the glory of God. And I think he must have been a very fine carpenter. And he did his work not only beautifully, but he did it gladly. And he did it as an act of offering to the Father. What about the way you do your dishes? Went to meddling, didn't I? The Christian way of doing dishes is cheerfully, thankfully, thoroughly, to get them clean. People ask me, "Oh, Elizabeth, it must be so wonderful to be a writer." A young girl came bounding up to me and she said, "Mrs. Elliott, I think the Lord has called me to do exactly what you do." And I said, "And what's that?" "Oh, to write books and speak and travel around. I think it must be so exciting." Well, of course, I didn't tell her that it wasn't exciting or that it was a tough life and I was really having a hard time and all that. It's a wonderful life and God has given me joy in everything that he gives me to do. But the truth is that if you were to add up the number of hours out of a whole year that I'm standing in front of an audience like this, it wouldn't be very many. And if I were to add up all the traveling that I do and all the books that I write, it still wouldn't amount to a whole lot compared to all the other hours in my life. I peel onions practically every day when I'm home because my husband wants soup every day for lunch, and he doesn't mean camel soup. Now, I don't want to give you a wrong impression. My husband, he is the dearest, easiest man in the world to please. I could give him anything. He'd never complain. I don't think he's ever once complained about anything that I put before him. And I don't quite manage to make soup every day from scratch. Try to make a couple of quarts at a time anyway, so I can have a couple of days out of it. But do you think God is more interested in my standing in front of an audience at Rocky Peak than he is in the way I peel that onion and the way I iron my husband's shirt? I don't think so. I really don't think so. One time I was visiting my daughter, and can't even remember which baby it was now. She got so many of them, but she asked her daughter Elizabeth to feed the baby the bottle. Now, all her babies have been breastfed, and so there have been very few bottles that have been given, but on this occasion, there was reason to give the baby the bottle. And Elizabeth just rolled her eyes and shrugged her shoulders, and she looked at me and she said, "I think I've given him about a million bottles." So I just gently said to Elizabeth, "If that was the baby Jesus, do you think you might feel a little bit differently about giving him that bottle?" She said, "I guess so." Which brings me to Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor, teaching him clearly what he is to teach. And it's very interesting that he teaches the young pastor to teach the older women to teach the younger women. Very wise. Is a young pastor in a very good position to teach younger women? He would be skating on very thin ice. So he says, teach the older women to teach the younger women. Your relationship to the older women is a much safer one than your relationship to the younger women. Don't get into the ring with the younger women. Get the older women to teach the younger women. So you're looking at an old woman who has the responsibility to teach younger women. I have the responsibility to teach in a much broader way than most of you are given. But there isn't one woman in this room who is not an older woman. Do we have anybody here under 15? Yes. Okay. I don't know how old you are, but I won't ask. You are an older woman. If you are 15, the 9-year-old is looking up to you. I know this is true because I was the 9-year-old neighbor of a 15-year-old girl who was a lovely Christian girl. Her name was Ruth Ritchie, and I used to watch everything Ruth Ritchie did. I wanted to look like her, fix my hair like her, dress like her, walk like her, talk like her. I wanted to be Ruth Ritchie. She was the older woman in my life. I saw Ruth about a year ago for the first time in 50 years. She came to hear me speak. And I told her afterwards that I had been talking about her all over the country. Well, of course, she couldn't imagine why. And I explained. I said, "You know, you'll never know the influence that you had on this skinny 9-year-old kid next door. Because you were just a gracious, sweet, unselfish girl, 15-year-old girl." Now, how many 15-year-old girls are gracious and sweet and unselfish to the 9-year-old that lives next door? Why should she have been nice to me at all, let alone gracious and outgoing and interested in me? She was. So don't think you're off the hook because you're only 20 years old or you're only 30 years old, and you can start doing what it says in Titus 2 when you get to be as old as Elizabeth Elliot. That won't do. Now, of course, I know that, generally speaking, that is what Paul was talking about. He's talking about the older women who had probably raised their own children and now had a tremendous store of wisdom that they could hand out to the younger women. But there's a principle here which I think makes every one of us responsible to be spiritual mothers. And the world is desperate for mothering. The world is desperate for mothering. I get letters from young women who tell me that they have gone to older women in their churches begging them to teach them because their mothers were not Christians. They don't know their Bibles. They're just recent Christians. They don't know how in the world to do these things that Paul says Titus must teach the older women to teach the younger women to do. And so often the answer is, "Well, you know, I wouldn't know how to do that," or, "I don't have time," or, "I did my job, I raised my kids, now it's my turn to do something for myself." You know, churches are encouraging this. Churches are saying, "You have a right to yourself." Where'd they get that idea? Not from the Bible, from the world. I don't have any rights to myself. All the rights have already been handed over. I have no rights. Jesus said, I have a right to lay down my life. And that's the only right Jesus ever talked about having. It says he did not think equality was something to be grasped at, and he became a slave, made himself nothing, a zero. Well, what am I supposed to be, a doormat? Yes. Why not? If a doormat is what needs to be there at the moment, and you can be that doormat for somebody else to walk on, why not? Jesus made himself less than a doormat. He made himself nothing. So here's this passage. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. And that is the first thing because it is an example. Ruth Ritchie was reverent in the way she lived. She was just a simple, godly girl, as a 15-year-old girl can be godly. Reverent in the way they live. And I was watching. It wasn't what Ruth said to me. I don't remember that she ever talked about anything spiritual. I knew she was a Christian. But there was something about her bearing, something about the way she did things that was gracious and sweet and modest and quiet. First thing is an example when he says, teach the older women to be. That's much more important than what the older women say. It's what they are.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Thank you.